Hello, Sexy Sunday. It's the best day of the week because I get to share a convo with you about sex, relationships, and being the most free and confident version of yourself. I'm big on making my own rules and normalizing these kinds of conversations because I believe that the more we talk about it, the better sex we're all going to have because we'll be more educated and hornier. We walk around and hardly broach this topic in our normal lives, but I'm trying to change that. This is storytelling that's entertaining as hell, that will leave you laughing and gasping, introducing ideas that'll change you and break you open to celebrating your sexy self. Come with a curious head and brave heart, and let's play. I'm Bonnie Weeks, and this is gonna be fun. The podcast you're about to listen to is from a series called Let's Talk About Sex. The series was originally hosted on my other podcast, Yoga Strong, The Practice of Paying Attention, where I began to realize that in the definition of yoga being the practice of paying attention, that I really can talk about anything. And I wanted to start having these conversations around sex. That's how this current podcast was born, was because I started to do this series as a monthly thing with my friend Taylor. So bringing those podcasts here to allow you to enjoy them again or enjoy them for the first time. Welcome. It is time to talk about sex again. Welcome back to the podcast, Taylor.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
I can't believe it's already been a month.
I know. And I know.
Also, why are we not talking more?
We should. I think we should do this like two times a month.
Yeah, I'm game. We'll see how that works out. We'll get back to you guys. Let's back up. I had messaged Taylor and I was like, okay, let's podcast today. And it's actually really early for both of us. And I have been laughing so hard this morning because I had set my alarm. The sun's not even up. I was like, this is the time that works. And so it's just been really hilarious to me to think that we're waking up early to talk about masturbation today.
Yeah, woo-hoo! I'm here for it.
I've just been laughing. So I'm like, this is a great life. I'm like, I guess I might keep really talking about masturbation. So here we are. Thank you for joining us. It might not be morning time for you, but you know, you're still welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also just love that. So I don't know about you, Bonnie, but I'm just so, I don't want to use the word awake because like physically I'm kind of sleepy, but consciously and like spiritually, I'm just wide awake this early in the morning. You know, I feel like I'm open to receive and less, I mentioned to you earlier, like less nervous, just more myself. You know, the day hasn't made an imprint on me yet. And I'm just like, this is who I am. Let's talk about masturbation.
Yeah. Well, and I was actually talking about in flow school, class that was this week. And since it's my birthday, the kind of the theme for that was happy birthday. Happy birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday.
It is. I know. I'm so excited for you.
But the thing is about birthdays for me, I'm like, I don't care about things. It's like the people, yep, connections, like that is my favorite part. That it's like this opportunity to be like, oh, let's say hi to all the people because I love that. And but this whole idea of a rebirth, like, so happy birthday to you also and to me today, because today we were born again. And like this beginning stages of the day really are like this, we're like these fresh babies to be like, ooh, now what?
Yeah, exactly.
Like we're coming out the womb of the bed.
I mean, I feel like we're going to have an amazing day if we're starting it off talking about masturbation.
Yes, yes. Well, and even to start talking about, I have for quite a while now, I have 3 M's that I start my day with. And I think like this is something that I haven't even written about on Instagram. I was like, I should just write a post about this. It's something that, you know, if you talk about a morning ritual and what does that look like for people, and you can make up whatever the hell you want for your morning ritual. And there's lots of suggestions out there in the world.
I'm trying to think of what your 3 M's are right now. And I figured out, I feel like I might have gotten 2 out of 3 for sure.
Okay. So first one, this is the order that they usually go in.
Okay.
So which one do you think is first?
I'm gonna go masturbation.
Yes, masturbation first.
Meditation.
So meditation, sometimes the second, sometimes third, and matcha.
Ah, okay, I was going to either say either matcha, because I know you love your matcha, or movement. I was like, okay.
And movement works too. So I'm like, it really, but if you put movement in there, then I'm like, okay, there's our day, right? Let's have, you know, masturbation, matcha, meditation, movement. And yeah.
M&M's.
M&M's. So start your day off with the M's.
M&M's. I'm just going to say that. That's going to be a new statement of mine. I'm going to start my day every day with M&M's.
Yeah.
Perfect. M&M's. I love it.
So that's how I have been starting my day for quite a while. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't always include all of those things. But I don't know. There's just kind of something nice about, and it's not something I even thought about. If you think about my morning routine, it's just something I started doing. And then it almost became hilarious to me and be like, oh, this is all the M's. And I'm like, well, this is what I do now. And so I just am going to do it now. And I think there's something powerful for me. I don't know. Masturbation is, and here we're going to dive into all of this, right? But it hasn't been a part of my life for very long. Mm. And I think that knowing that I have the personal pleasure and power to connect with myself in that way and to enjoy that. And it really is like this one-on-one self-honoring and acknowledgement.
Oh, and 100%.
Yeah. And I think it makes me feel powerful. Be like, hell yeah, get your sexy ass going for the day. Like, you know, it's like a pep talk, you know?
The best kind of pep talk. It's so empowering. I really do think so. Like you had mentioned that, you know, masturbation is not fairly new to you, but, and for myself, like, I feel like I've been masturbating since probably sixth grade, but it still feels very much empowering because just like any relationship that you're in, whether it be with another partner, that relationship with self changes and shifts. And as we grow and change and so does our relationship with our body and so does our masturbation practice, you know? So it's like, I look at that as such a beautiful way to start your day because it's a beautiful way to touch into not only how you're feeling, but like, what are your needs? And sometimes if it's just that physical connection to be like, what am I feeling this morning? You know, maybe it's a slow, gentle touch that you're requiring that morning. And it takes a little bit longer and you're just very invested. Like what a message you're sending to your body that you're like, I'm here for you to go slow today. I'm here for you to take your time. I'm here to listen. There's no other place I'd rather be than with you. And then other mornings it's like quick and fast and you're like, damn, okay, here I am. Like, let's take this day on. But you're telling your body, you're giving your body that affirmation every morning, like no matter what it looks like, no matter how you woke up, I'm here for you. And there's no other place I'd rather be than here with you. And that for me, like hearing that message or feeling that message from physical touch is, I'm a words of affirmation person. So it's probably why I'm like going down this route, but it's empowering. Like you said, it is really, really empowering.
Yeah. I definitely, words of affirmation also, but touch for sure.
And yeah.
This all goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Ooh,
there we go.
Our first innuendo.
Oh gosh. You know, one of the things that I really love about yoga is, and something that I didn't realize going into yoga, but kind of within my practice journey has been realizing that I love to hold my body. And it's not something I ever thought of before, but when you're folded over or you're holding onto a leg or you're, I don't know, you just, our hands and our feet and our legs and our torso and our head, like we touch our own bodies within our yoga class to assist ourselves to, you know, move in lots of different directions. And there's something about, you know, my legs connected to my chest or my hands wrapped around my calves or, you know, the touch of my body and holding my body in other ways has been, it is like really like feels really good.
Well, and there is a self-regulating system that we have in our bodies. So like, you know, it, even in yoga practice, if something comes up for you, you know, and your body's reliving a moment, that ability to hold oneself and to remind oneself to cue that self-regulating system is there again to remind yourself, like, I'm here for you. And this may be hard. And if something comes up, you have that ability just through touch to be like, maybe we don't address this today, but, you know, I can come back to this because it's safe. And just by that physical touch, it's like that regulating system that we all have within ourselves. It just gets shifted and changed a little bit through our life experiences. So I love that you brought that up, because that does tie into masturbation, because sometimes people don't feel, I'm just going to say, sometimes people don't feel safe touching their own bodies because, I just want to say, trigger warning, past sexual assault or, just, you know, maybe sexual abuse in a relationship, like that ability is not there for them. So I want to name that and just say, like, as we talk about how comfortable we feel with physical touch, like there are others who are listening to this that may not have that same experience, and that's okay too. And all of that is part of this process that I think we're going to share, is just us talking about our journeys with masturbation and inviting you to start a journey with your body, whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like.
Yes. Okay. I want to loop back with that, but we're already several minutes into this, but for those of you who might be listening, who are new to this idea, this is our second episode together with Taylor, like between Taylor and I. And this is a whole ongoing series about to talk about sex, and we're not licensed in any sort of way. We're not here to give any sort of official advice or direction. This is something we've been friends for a long time and have been talking about these for a long time, have wanted to have these conversations be more public, to really encourage more normalizing of sex, talking about sex, having it be something that's not taboo.
Exactly.
So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, thank you so much for taking the time. There's so many podcasts out there. There's so many opportunities to listen to so many amazing people. So to the people who are listening, the fact that you took the time to choose this and are still here listening to this, like, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, I want to loop back actually to what you were just last saying. There's an episode a couple ago with Novi, who you actually know as well.
Yes, and, me too. I love Novi.
And she talks about this. So we were not talking about masturbation, but she was talking about her relationship with her body. And if you've not listened to that episode, you can go in and hear this story firsthand from her. But she is talking about how when she would be in the shower, and because she's gone through cancer and thought, like, what is this body? So whether there might be some sort of past trauma or illness, right? Or maybe people who have had small children, who you're like, where's my body belong? And and her story of her, she like was taking her hand and she was taking the soap and just washing her body and saying, like, it's safe to be here. And she was touching just her arms, you know, and that invitation to touch yourself can look like so many different things, and it's all good.
Absolutely. It's all valid. It is. And like, again, trigger warning, when I was in high school, I experienced sexual assault and sexual trauma. And so the rebirth of like my self-love, my body love practice almost started over again. And it wasn't until like probably maybe, gosh, like 7 years ago that I really started investing. And very similar to Novi's experience, it started out with very small acts. So being able to look at myself in the mirror naked and kind of combat the initial thoughts that would come up. So like acknowledge them, whatever they were usually associated with a past story or past experience, and start to, like you were talking about your M&Ms, like starting creating a new habit. And so starting with loving kind thoughts, and then that moved to just gentle physical touch, reminding my body like this is a safe place. I am here. Just that connection. I'm here. And then gradually it progressed and progressed and progressed. But yeah, I really love that reminder and that permission for people to be like, hey, this can start for you at any point, and it will look different for each and every, and it should look different for each and every one of us, like different lived experiences, different bodies. So, 100%. I love that you're talking
different
about
different days.
Exactly. I wish you could see my face right now. I got like super excited by that for some reason. I was like, yes.
Even to loop back to how you said, oh, sometimes in the morning you're like super, you're going super fast, masturbating, it goes fast, and sometimes it's slow, right? Yeah. And even, you know, so that can vary. And I guess I also want to bring up that masturbation does not mean orgasm.
No.
And that doesn't mean if you don't orgasm, that doesn't mean you didn't masturbate. And if you want to say the quote unquote, did it count if you didn't orgasm?
Yes, it did.
There's not a rule with that.
I love that because I was reading this book, Pussy. Have you read that book yet?
I haven't.
So I started reading this again, like 3 years ago, I don't know. And the author talks about that, and I'm paraphrasing, so, because it's been a while since I've read it, but this is just a thought I'm pulling from it, that when we come into masturbation with the intention to orgasm, it might almost set ourselves up for quote unquote failure. And again, like there's no right or wrong way to masturbate. So I hate to use the word failure, but I'm just going to, because what if there's a day where you just don't climax, and that's okay. But if you're going into it being like, I'm going to climax, and it doesn't happen, then again, your body almost feels let down. You almost feel let down. So then you're leaving that experience with this feeling counter to what the experience you wanted. And in that same coin is like sometimes, and I'll just speak from experience, like knowing that I'm very familiar with that part of my body, and I'm pretty sure I can get there really quickly, you know, if I want to. And some days it just doesn't happen, and I almost get discouraged. Like I'll hear myself having that inner dialogue, like, will you just come already? Like, hurry up. Like, I just want this. And I'm like, oh God, that's terrible that I'm having that conversation with myself. This inner dialogue. And then it's like, what message am I telling my body? Like, hurry up. Like you're like, it's like, oh, I don't. And so then I love that you said that, like, yes, it counts. There's no scale. Like there's no, you know, checklist. Like if you are just moments with your body, loving and caressing and feeling and embracing and touching, and that is that. And that is beautiful and worthy and amazing. And yeah, I agree.
I think the generosity, I think often of having sex with another person, and sex, the word sex could even be in quotes here of what that, you know, what that definition can be, but in some sort of physical relation with another person, that it really is an opportunity to honor and acknowledge their aliveness.
Yeah.
And that our relationship with ourselves, right, to realize that we're whole ourselves, to stay in kind of that relationship and not let that die in order to be with another person, and to practice the ability to honor and acknowledge another person really, really desires a home within ourselves as well.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not saying that you have to have this amazing relationship with yourself to have an amazing relationship with another person. That's not what I'm saying. And the two, you know, this is a constant circle of being like, well, other people help you, and then you help you, and then, you know, this is what relationship is. This is what being alive is. This is back and forth. But and it's interesting, even the word masturbation, I'm thinking, okay, so if it's not coming to orgasm, right? You're not coming every time, but it's touch. It's like literally a word that means that you're touching your genitals. you're touching your pussy, you're touching your cock, you're touching whatever it is you want to touch.
Yeah.
And in that area of your body. And it's literally just a word meaning touch there. And you get to decide, meaning every one of us get to decide what that is in that moment, which is really empowering.
Right?
Yeah. And I think I have my three kids, and there was a conversation around what, you know, I think especially when they're little, and my boys, I have two boys and a girl, and they're like, well, you know, this girl doesn't have a penis, right? For my daughter. And like, what do you have? Well, you either have a penis or you just don't have a penis. Like, there's not like the word vulva or pussy or like vagina isn't even, that's the hole. Well, that's not even the outside. So the right. vulva is the outside portion. And then the vagina is inside. And then there's, you know, the clit and all the different parts of the clitoris actually in the inside parts inside, of that as yeah. well. And so there's some more terms there that just aren't normalized to being talked about. And so, like, I love having those conversations with my kids where I'm talking about them. And then, you know, recently, you know, one of my boys was saying, like, we were talking about, there was some conversation, some comment about, I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was, what word do I want to use? I almost want to use the word disgust, but it was in a kid term disgust. So it wasn't like super heavy disgust. It was kind of like, oh, well, like, it's not a penis. Oh, like, what is that?
It's almost like kind of like a little bit of grossed out. Like, ew. Like,
yes. Yeah. Especially yeah. for like a young kid, right? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, no. So I think the conversation, even for like our children, to honor like the vulva shape and to help girls and to help our daughters, because you know that was me. I didn't have this experience of really loving that part of your body and knowing what it looks like. And for anybody who has a penis, they can see that.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And if you're a vulva owner, it's a harder to see that. And using a mirror might be something that's going to be really helpful for that.
Oh, that was a game changer for me. Game changer.
Tell me.
Well, so like I said, I started masturbating. I think I don't want to say if it was young or I don't want to put a timeline because I don't want, you know, it's just, this was when I started my journey. It was, I think, like sixth grade. And it was just because I discovered friction.
Yeah.
Leads to a very amazing feeling in my body. But I would hide in my closet because I didn't know if it was at the, like, I'm trying to reflect back and I don't know if it was because I had three siblings and I just didn't want that risk of like somebody walking in. But I also think it was combined with the fact that it really wasn't talked about in my house.
Mm.
So there felt this need to go into a place where nobody could see. Like, I always made sure the closet was dark. Because I didn't even really want to see. So there was this level of like shame kind of wrapped around it. Like, this feels really good for my body, but I'm not even sure if I should be doing this. Like, I'm not even sure, even though it was my body, there was that feeling of, I don't know if I should be doing this. And it was a disconnect. Like, you know, I couldn't physically see it. Everything was like, okay, disconnect. And honestly, to be truthful, it wasn't until probably like, oh my gosh, maybe 5 years ago. And for perspective, I'm 39 years old. 5 years ago that I actually started looking at myself in the mirror. And I don't want to say I'd seen my vulva 100%. I had done the hand mirror and like looked at it and all that stuff prior to this. But I want to be specific and say I was looking at myself in the mirror when I was masturbating. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I mean, I remember calling my friends and being like, this is a game changer. If you haven't done this, you need to go do this. Like, pause, stop whatever you're doing right now. And like,
permission to masturbate.
Yeah. Go get a mirror and sit in front of it and just like go for it. Game changer, absolute game changer. And so I just want to reiterate, I think it's so important that we do start with smaller steps. And if you are an owner of a vulva and you've never looked at it, we talked about this earlier, but that episode of Sex in the City, I don't know if anyone has watched it, where Charla's, they call it a vagina, but I'm pretty sure they're talking about the vulva, is depressed, right? And she's like, my vagina's depressed and she needs to keep a vagina journal and all this stuff. And it turns out she just never has seen her vagina. Like, her vagina just wanted to be seen. And
yes.
I got this mirror and looked at it and was like, holy, like, this is beautiful. Like,
yeah.
But we're taught that they're weird or they're ugly or, you know, the differences between them are not beautiful. And that's what I, just very similar to those who own a penis. They're all different shapes and sizes. And that is the same thing with the vulva, except for I feel like there's not a conversation around that as we, those of us who identify as women, those of us who own a vulva, there's not a conversation around that, like what that looks like.
Oh my gosh, you just said so many things. And actually, just to jump off exactly that, is I had no idea that vulva surgeries for reconstruction were a thing. And it totally is a thing. So people, because vulvas are different, right? Some, like, you have your outer lips, you have your inner lips, and they can hang at different lengths. We'll just use the word hang. Like, they just, they're different lengths. And because there's not a portrayal, I guess, within media, like, I mean, there's lots of penises out there in the world that you can see. And I think that the vulva shape, the aesthetic of the vulva is really coming. There's the coming. There we go. There's another one. But that there's surgeries being done because there are individuals who are vulva owners who are feeling insecure about what theirs looks like, and with something in mind that what it's supposed to look like. And I, and you know, there's some really cool artists out there doing things. There's a artist that I found on Instagram that is making, plaster prints. So it's like a vulva owner will lay down on a table, spread legs, and they use, you know, plaster to then make an imprint, you know, of the vulva and have that as a piece of art.
That's so, and
it's really cool because there's so many different shapes and sizes and lengths, and it's just as broad a variety as any other body part.
Yeah, and I love that, bringing that up, because it is a normalization. It is just starting to have those conversations. Like, there's a woman here in Sacramento. She, on Instagram, it's the Vulva Witch, and she is taking photographs of vulvas. And the same thing, very, sounds like same thing. Like, you lie down in like a supine position, and she has you bring your soles of your feet together, your knees wide, and takes a photo of your vulva. And she's doing an art show where they're just going to hang, and you get to you as the viewer of the art show get to walk around and see and experience. Because, and this all stemmed, to kind of circle back to what you were saying, is she posted a question on her Instagram as far as like, what are your experiences with your vulva? And it was a very, the question was very open-ended. And I'm assuming she did that intentionally, but there were so many, and she shared the answers, and there were so many answers that were, you know, my past partner made me feel shame because my labias hung too low, or because they were darker than their different pigment. So and so, I mean, there were so many stories, and even leading into, I believe, I want to assume she identified as a woman. It didn't say, that she ended up going to get surgery because her partner made her feel that her vulva was not quote unquote correct or right or the way that it should be. And I just, my heart breaks when I hear those stories, because it isn't normalized growing up that they look different and that they have all different shapes and sizes. And that's so important for, I mean, representation matters everywhere. And I'm not sure like that I'm saying, okay, we need to just post vulvas everywhere. I mean, I'm cool with it, but totally cool with that. But there needs to be the conversation, and that in itself is representation. It's just hearing it.
And even thinking back to like words, like words matter to like they actually do. Name the vulva. And if you are listening and have a daughter, stop calling it vagina, unless you're actually talking about the hole in your body or a hole in that individual's body, and start calling it vulva and normalize it for, in, if you don't have daughters. And so like, if you have children, especially, so I just think of like normalizing from the time that children are little, then that, for those who in your family who, or who in your kind of life to have a penis, to normalize vulva a word for them as well.
Oh my gosh. I've got like, I love collecting weird little art pieces. And, the same woman, the Vulva Witch, she creates clay vulvas. And some of them are like incense holders. Some of them are air plant holders. She makes earrings and I'm always, they're around the house. I'm always wearing them. And of course my son's like, is that really what I think it is hanging from your ears? And I'm like, it is. You like to take a closer look.
I saw a friend a couple days ago and I was walking to this coffee shop and she was coming through the drive through this coffee shop. She's like, Bonnie. And then like we were talking there and I was like, down. I was like, is that a vulva on your ring? She's like, yes, it is. She had a vulva ring. And I was like, yeah.
It's those simple things. It's like,
yes.
Yes, I'm all here.
And her experience actually with that was, she's like, you know what? There's so many people who will kind of look at it or can tell they're looking at the ring and other people and not say anything. And other people will say, is that what I think it is? And she's like, yeah, yeah. She's like, it's really been interesting how so many people either give it a side glance, they might know what it is, or say something like, is that what I think it is? But without ever naming it. Like, like it's shameful to say a word. Like, why can't you just say like, yeah, it's a vulva? Like this is a ring of an eyeball. This is a ring of a knee. Like I think it's
And that is so funny because if it was an eyeball, people would be like, oh, that's cool. It's an eye. Like they would immediately
because
say
there
that.
Is rings like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus like, is that what I think it is? Dun dun dun.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Let's see, where do I want to go from here? I want to go back to the mirror and going back to seeing yourself. Yeah. And I think there's a really big power in, you know, if you and I were in the same room, the way that we would make eye contact, the way that we would use our body language to either like lean in or lean out of the conversation, and the experience of both seeing each other and being seen is really powerful in that exchange. And if there is a mirror and one person, then you get the opportunity to do both. You get to both see yourself and be seen.
Yep.
And that's just a really kind of beautiful experience. And which there's usually always an and. And it also might not be a beautiful experience.
Ooh,
you know, depending on where, how many times you've met yourself there and on what day and on what time of the day, right?
Yeah.
That it's going to be an adventure. Like, and I really do think of almost everything as like, this is an adventure. And I have, I don't know if anybody has, you know, have you watched Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou?
Yes.
It is the weirdest movie.
Oh my God. I love any Wes Anderson film. I'm there for it. 100%.
Well, and it's so quirky. It's so quirky. So if you're listening and you've not watched it, like just, I will tell you when I first watched it, it is out of all the movies I've ever seen. I was like, this last 2 hours are a waste of my life. Like this is a waste of my life. Like that's really how I felt the first time I see it. But now I've seen it like 10 times. So it's good.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah. If you're listening, just any Wes Anderson film you need to check out.
It's quirky. So just go into it. It's going to be super weird, but I have, but I love it. And it's been a long time now. I want to watch it again. So I have this print though on my wall that I can see right now where it's this, you know, cartoon image of Steve Zissou with a little red beanie on with his blue jumpsuit holding his finger, but from his finger is this banner saying, this is an adventure.
Mm.
And oftentimes, like I hold up my finger, even like I've had this print for a long time. And that image of this little print has become like what's in my head. I'm like, this is an adventure. This is an adventure. Like if this is uncomfortable, okay, this is an adventure. If this is joyful, this is an adventure. And so wherever it is, you meet yourself in the moment that you're in, this is an adventure. Like, what do you have to learn from here? And rather than having it be a negative, be like, what is this adventure going to bring? And every opportunity, like every moment is either an opportunity to that is going to be good or it's going to be good learning. It's going to be one or the other.
Well, and like I said, that like just observing yourself in that experience. And it's not a bad experience. It's an opportunity to learn our bodies and perhaps an opportunity to reflect, like, is there something that's happening in my like consciousness or unconsciousness that I'm holding on to, or I need to address, I need to look a little bit further at, because, you know, our bodies hold on to any and every experience. So for me, sometimes if I have that inability to come, I'm like, okay, not that sometimes it's just my body. Like, I want to say that, like, there's not this always like hidden meaning, you know, sometimes right. it's just like, this not today. But yeah. sometimes it is this reluctancy to let go of something else mm-hmm. and it's transferring to this experience. And I think it's awesome to notice that within ourselves, because then if you choose to have, you know, be with intimate with somebody in a partnership or a relationship, and you have that same experience, you might be able to communicate that with your partner and say like, hey, whatever your verbiage may want to be, but like this, I may not climax this session, this moment, but that doesn't mean I'm not in it and I don't enjoy it and I'm not here for it. It's just maybe not today. And but I think until we can get that on a personal level, we won't be able to have that confidence to have that conversation. And I'm not saying that like you have to always have that partnership connection, but I think it's a beautiful way to kind of like everything kind of is intertwined.
Right. Well, and I think owning that as vulva owners, because and I mean, some vulva owners, I know I have somebody that I know who's like, I can come like 10 times. Like it just like I'm super easy. Right. And then that's not the case for people. It can be a totally opposite scale or opposite end of the scale. And if that is true for vulva owners, that is also 100% true for penis owners.
Oh, absolutely. And
so to normalize it for vulva owners is then also, if we're in partnership and depending on where you're, you know, who you're partnering with, if you're partnering with a person who has a penis, also normalizing that they don't have to orgasm every time to not be intimate. You know, like that it's still intimacy, it's still sex, it's still pleasurable, it's still an adventure together.
Oh yeah. Orgasm. And we can take our egos out of it at that point, because we're like, oh, it's not about, it's just, and with that level of communication, it eliminates that ego. And then you're able to just listen to your partner, whomever you're with, and be like, okay, wow. And then you can just like, okay, well then what can I do, or what can we do to make this experience enjoyable and adventurous? Right. And
right. Because like the coming part, the orgasm part, the like, that's like, it's all the stuff before that. It's all the awareness and being there and the touch and in tune and like the foreplay that starts like 4 hours ahead of time where you're like texting. That's where it starts. and you're like, oh yeah, okay.
Or talking about masturbation on a podcast.
Or early wake up.
Yeah.
Podcast. I mean, this day has a lot of potential for the two of us.
It does. It does. I'm feeling it already. I'm like, okay.
You know, I, it's been an interesting journey for me, and I don't know. Well, let's see. For me, having grown up in a Mormon background, masturbation is not talked about at all for girls. And for boys from, you know, age 12 and up, they have direct experience with being ashamed there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of words that are placed on penis holders.
Yeah.
and the way that they feel sexual. And then for my experience as a vulva owner within the church, there's just no conversation. And so this whole idea that I really feel like that men were too sexual and women were asexual because they're just having babies and you're not, you know, we're not talking about pleasure, we're not talking about sex in very many ways. And even in talking about sex, there's not very many conversations even directly related to it in a way that is empowering.
I'm even going to ask the question, like, were there any conversations around pleasure, or was it just a means to an end? Like, we do this to have a baby.
Exactly. And when it's just that, and then also, if like once you get married, so you're not talking about it beforehand, you're not having sex beforehand. And then once you get married, you're not supposed to talk about your relationship or your sex life with anybody else. Like that's the encouragement. So like, that's so isolating for all people in that situation, all people.
Yeah.
And so I never, you know, there's times. So I think for me, my very earliest memories of recognizing pleasure for myself would be I was young and I would be in the bathtub. And I remember the faucet that pours water with like the little pull-up knob for the shower. I would sit on that.
Yep.
And that felt real good. So, Mom, if you're listening, you're welcome.
I wonder how many people have sat on the knob of the
faucet. If you sat on the knob, please reach out to us. Be like, I sat on the knob. You could just say that phrase, I sat on the knob, and then give you props.
Please, if anyone wants to do that, I will. That would give me great joy.
Yes.
Message me. I sat on the knob.
I hope this happens.
I do. Yes.
That's how I remember kind of like the very beginning days. And, you know, there's a couple of times that I had some phone sex. So then I masturbated then in college. Also, you're welcome, Mom. That's a new story. And then I didn't for a long time. And I think because there's shame around it.
Yeah.
And like, what was I doing? And feeling bad for that. And it really has been the last couple years for me. And I'm 37 tomorrow. And so, again, like you, it's like 30s has been massively expansive for me. Mm-hmm. And having that relationship then with myself to be like, oh, I'm going to touch myself. And really, I feel zero shame about it. I'm just like, okay, this is my body. And I feel like I'm so new to really the practice of allowing it, encouraging it, acknowledging it, seeing myself in that way, that I am really excited that I have so many years ahead of me.
Oh, yes.
You know, I will occasionally use my hand. Well, and again, hand can be like in the morning, sleeping naked, and you reach down, you touch yourself. That, and again, not climax. That's literally just like touching yourself. I know for me, I remember we had this conversation forever ago, Taylor, where if a partner were to just reach over and cup your vulva with their hand, and there's no
sneaky
finger wiggling. There's like, it's just a hold.
Yes, and
how that feels really good.
It feels really good. It feels really good. And I don't know if anyone knows the science behind that. I'm so open to hearing it, but it feels comforting, like for me. And I don't want to say that is going to be everyone's experience, but for me, it is so comforting just to be like, you're just holding me, the most, like, a very vulnerable part of my body, and you're just holding it.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, I have this thought in my head, these are new thoughts, is so often we are touched there by another or by a partner with the idea that they're excited. Well, it can be like they're excited to pleasure us, or they're excited to have pleasure returned. They're excited to be in that kind of exchange of sexual play.
There's an intention.
Right. And so to not have the intention of any outcome of that, and literally as a way of just holding. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's a piece of it almost for our nervous system to be like, oh, I don't have to give anything.
Yeah.
There has to be no penetration. This person isn't trying to turn me on.
Yeah.
Because there's no movement. And it literally is just an acknowledgement of that body part, even if they don't even think of it that way. I think if I think about myself, I'm like, oh, why would that be really meaningful to say, like, oh, I don't have to actually, if I'm sleeping and I'm in bed and somebody's reached over to do that, then my first thought would probably be like, oh, now I'm going to have to like get turned on here. Now I'm going to.
Or am I horny? Do I want this? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Like,
it's so like that. It's so, there's so much stuff that happens in my head, but then all of a sudden to have it just be, oh, I'm just going to relax here.
Hmm.
And just be in that without having to have it be a stimulation, but it can just be a holding.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I think even about kind of bringing in masculine, feminine kind of conversations and bringing masculine, feminine conversations, I, you know, really want to bring awareness and acknowledgement to how those terms have been used for a long time that has caused harm for different individuals. In regards to the term masculine, feminine. And the way that I speak about them is about the energy that all of us have in us, regardless of our identification of gender.
Perfect.
And so thinking of a feminine energy means you want to be held. There's we're the feelers, the as an F-I-L-L, to fill something up. And the masculine, it wants to hold that. And so, and there can't, in order, there's there, when you're you're having an interaction with two people, when it's strong sexual chemistry and fiery, that's when people are playing one and the other person is on the other side. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have this polarity, and within an experience or a time frame with each other, that can flip-flop within that experience. But then taking it from that, and it, you know, within ourselves, we have this balance that continually plays out as well. So we have masculine and femininity, and how does that manifest? There's a mature and immature way that both of those can show up. Yeah. And we're feeling really anxious, and we're feeling like we have to do all the things. You know, there's an imbalance of those energies for ourselves. This is a little bit woo-woo, then like, great, go with it here for a moment.
Oh my God, I love this. It reminds me of the conversation with at your retreat that we were talking about.
Chris Miller.
Yeah, Chris Miller, yes.
Yeah, and I think Chris Miller, it was a while ago since I did the podcast with him, but I think we talked briefly about that. But that was, you know, if you're listening, you can zoom back a little bit further for a podcast with Chris Miller. But he brought that up. And but I think in this moment, sort of thinking of a partner holding the vulva, holding like a crotch area, right? That as, and like the holding of that feels really safe. And there has to be a certain level of trust between energies within ourselves and then also within a partnership to be able to let go and be able to be like, okay, I'm in faith. I'm in trust. I can let myself ride this flow because there's enough form here. Mm. And so there's this form of being held without an expectation and a full acknowledgement. And so for us as a nervous system, we can be like, oh, wow, like this feels really good. I just want to be here, and I don't have, there's no expectation on me.
And to circle it back to how we started this, that same sensation, like if you're holding yourself at the very end of a yoga practice, or there's that concept that's wrapped around with just holding oneself or being held. And
the physical touch that's being lacked right now because of COVID. Wow. All those things. But wait, okay. I want to jump back to when I then I say like these past couple of years is I've kind of embraced masturbation and been like, this is what I'm doing. And I haven't turned back and haven't felt shame about that and embraced exploring and enjoying my body. I feel like I have had an awakening, a like sexual awakening this past couple of years. And the way that feels like it has filtered out to all areas of my life has been really, really large. And I think it is that cultivation of relationship with self and with the power that we have in our bodies to do things. Like, and like literally a thing, right? Like to touch, to do, like, I think that continual dive into self and then the way that self relates to others is so expansive and pleasurable, right?
Well, and to circle back to that book, Pussy, if you guys haven't read it, check it out, please. She talks, another part of the book, she talks about trying this on for size. So this is not like, you know, a replacement of your prayer practice. But if you are in a moment and you find yourself wanting to pray to maybe a higher being or the universe or whatever you use to ask for guidance or help or assistance, she was like, why don't you just try praying to your pussy?
Mm.
And she was like, it's literally a conversation, like, pussy, dear vulva, like whatever, if you use dear, like...
I remember you sharing this on Instagram like a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah, and that empowerment of like this vulva, this pussy, like whatever you identify that as, if you are a vulva owner, is so powerful. That energy there is so powerful. And when we name it and then bring back that inner trust, that inner wisdom, that body intelligence, and we're in a moment where we're asking for guidance and we're like, hey, instead of going outward, I'm going to go inward and I'm going to ask of myself. And one of the most powerful parts of my body for assistance, for help, for guidance, for support, And I swear I've done it so many times, and I know it sounds crazy, but it's a game changer.
Yes. So I'm going to bring this around too. For my Sexy Sunday poetry prompt, I write an email every week. And in the email that I send out, I tell other stories and mm-hmm. share other kind of resources. Mm-hmm. And it's been really fun, things I don't share on Instagram. And one of the things that I shared, I think 2 weeks ago, was talking about the phrase, go fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And so often, you know, that phrase is used very abrasively. You know, it's a tell off for people, right? Be like, get out of my face, like, go fuck yourself. But like, what power would that be? Kind of just piggybacking then off of exactly what you just had said. Like the power of saying, like, actually, just go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Like maybe you maybe that intention is you need to go fuck yourself.
Right. And like the way it's said is not invitational like that. But what if we just start saying that to ourselves? Maybe if we start sharing that with the people in our lives, be like, hey, go fuck yourself. Like, just go do that. And then let's come back and have this conversation. I'll go fuck myself. Like, where they're like, fuck me, or go fuck yourself. And then we'll keep going with this, you know, like, let's.
Like, go connect with yourself.
Exactly.
Go fuck yourself. And then let's resume this conversation when we're not in our heads, but we're in our bodies. Like,
And there's so many things pulling our distraction outwards.
Yeah.
Right? And so much of our putting out, like, and there's another phrase, right? Like, are you putting out? How much are you putting out other places that you don't have enough in you to be able to like dig within for your awareness to actually show up in that moment? So go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Pray to your pussy. I'm here for it.
Pray to your pussy. Pray to your pussy. Okay, let's talk about our intro episode. And actually, this wasn't recorded in there, but I jumped on the call and I was like, you know what? My vibrator died this morning.
we had
that conversation as the very first episode of this. So that was a funny moment that lined up so well. I have a backup in that moment. The backup wasn't charged and my other vibrator that died halfway through, which is then one of those moments where again, you have to just be like, okay.
I just want to let you know, my whole body felt that moment right there. My whole body was like,
I want this. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, good.
Right around the room. Good.
Oh gosh. Oh, I know. And I really had this vibrator. I'll put a link on it, but the Mini Shibari is the brand of that one, and I really liked it. I liked being able to hold it, but
yeah.
I have a different smaller shaped one anyway. And I was thinking actually for tomorrow, I was like, maybe for my birthday, I'll buy myself one of those necklace vibrators.
For your birthday, you need to buy yourself the clitoral vacuum.
Ooh, tell me about it.
So it's kind of like, so I just bought this recently. This was a purchase for myself. And it's this, a friend of mine, she was in a partnership on Instagram with this company, was like, here's the link for a coupon code. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm gonna try this out. And I reached out to her via text and I was like, okay, is this really worth it? Right? Like non-Instagram, mm-hmm. like real life, like is, and she was like, game changer. And she literally wrote like, this is why I've been late to meetings and things. And I was like, oh, that's all I need to know. Thank you. And I got it. And it is, I don't want to be so bold to say 100% satisfaction guarantee, but I'm going to be that bold. It's like, it has different levels, but it's a suction for your clitoris.
Wow.
And it does this tiny like pulsing, but it's got like a little hole that you stick on.
This is going to be a good day. I just felt that in my body when you said that.
And it is like this pulsing, sucking feeling. And it's not like, for those listening, if you've never used it, it's not anything hurtful at all. Like it doesn't hurt. It feels the exact opposite. It's amazing. But it is like, and you can speed it up, slow it down. So depending upon like, sometimes if I'm like, okay, I really need to connect with myself. I really want to have an orgasm. but I don't have that much time, or, you know, whatever. It's like, you can turn up the speed. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not joking. It's like 15 seconds, 30 seconds. Like, it's like, bam. I mean, it is the first time I used it, I literally was like, holy shit. Did that just happen that quickly? Like,
I've
given it the link to so many people. Just like, if you get a text message or an Instagram message from me with this link, you're welcome.
We'll put this in the show notes so you can check it out. We'll have the link in there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Like, my whole body is like wanting these things right now. So
I think it should be a birthday present for you.
Okay. Okay. Happy birthday, Bonnie.
Happy birthday, Bonnie.
Happy birthday, everybody who wants to have one of these who's a Bulba owner. Last Christmas, I bought myself, Juliet Allen is a sexologist from Australia that I really like following, and she has some crystal wands, and I bought a crystal wand, and, you know, I really do like my vibrator, and I probably do that most in regards to, well, I know I do that most, and in regards to actually orgasming with, through masturbation, and that there's part of me that wants to say, don't use it for a whole month. Don't use my vibrator for a whole month and use the wand. The wand or my hand, right? Like, there has to be more intentional with that if I'm actually going to come to orgasm. And so there's going to be, it's, I can't do that for 5 minutes in my closet. I often, my closet, my bathroom, right? But if I, well, I don't know if that's right, but that's whatever I usually am.
Yeah.
And, there's going to be a more intentional time in. And so there's part of me that's curious in how, and what that experience will be like. And also that M&M, the morning M&Ms have been really powerful for me. So there's a little bit of both where I'm like, oh, I want to try that. And like, oh, but I like doing this too, you know? And so that's something that I've toyed with doing, that's a good one. But have not yet kind of really dove into, a month of no vibrator.
Wow, that'd be really powerful. But I'm a fan of using my hand. Like, I am a fan of it, just because that physical skin to skin contact. Mm-hmm. I'm like, here
it's so
for
soft.
It. It's so soft and lovely, and
have a little coconut oil.
Yeah. Oh yes, and. Yes. And then I love the exploration, like, of using my hand to explore my whole body. Right. So it's beautiful. Like, it's an experience. Like, I definitely know when I'm like, okay, going with my hand this time, it's like a whole body experience.
Well, and again, though, like, it depends on the timing of it. So it's going to take longer at least for me, that's going to take longer. And that will be like in bed in the morning before I'm get up. Right. Where if I am up and going. And, I think for me, there's even a level of, if I'm in my closet, so I have to, my bedroom goes into my bathroom that goes into my closet. And that's where I like keep my toys and things. And, there are sometimes during the day, if I have my bedroom door open still, my kids are even in the loft.
I know your house layout. So,
right? And then if my bathroom door is open and my closet door is open and the mirror is there, so I like have, you know, standing slightly off mirror. So if they were to walk in my bedroom, they wouldn't get like the diagonal of me right there. But, you know, there's kind of this little sneaky part of me that really enjoys the, I'll just use the word riskiness.
Oh yeah.
I'll be like, I'm gonna leave the doors open. My kids are like doing their things. Maybe my kids even have friends over, and I'm in the closet, and I'm getting myself off. And like, they could walk around the door any minute, and I'm like listening at the same time as I'm like giggling to myself, at the same time that I'm pleasuring myself, and, you know, it's all around kind of enjoyable.
Yes, it is. Levels of masturbation.
M&Ms. M&Ms. We're like, came back around.
M&Ms.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many more places we can take this. I think there could be a whole episode, you know, coming about talking with our kids about things.
I think we should just do a second episode on masturbation and that conversation with kids, because as a parent, I think it's so important, or even like a guardian, a caregiver, to have those conversations with kids. And it's not very talked about. So I think, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think you people are listening. Would that be something that you're interested in? A conversation on masturbation and how we talk about it with our kids.
Yeah. And maybe it's a conversation too about just talking about sex with your kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've recorded an episode quite a while back.
You did. I remember that.
But, you know, there's always conversation happening. And I shared actually recently in, I think it was in that same email to the Sexy Sunday Poetry Prompt crew about the Go Fuck Yourself. I also shared a story about talking to my kids about masturbation. And so I think we have some experience with that with our kiddos. Yeah. And so we will loop back around to talking about that. So if you're listening and you're like, wait a second, we didn't talk about that, it's coming. And we could talk about all these things forever and ever, but I have loved where this conversation has gone today.
I have too. I really
I feel really buying a vacuum for myself.
For my day. Yes, I'm going to send you that when we get off.
I know, this is the best podcast ever.
I'm just letting anybody know, if you're interacting with me some point today, like, I know we're social distancing, but via text, phone call, like, I'm in that mood now.
I know. My body's tingling. My vulva is like, can we have a vacuum right now?
Same. Like, I do.
I already did my M&Ms this morning before the podcast, even though it was early.
Good for you.
I was like, you know, it can't not do that.
Yeah.
Going into a podcast talking about masturbation.
I did probably 2 out of 3. I got my tea and I did my meditation, but.
Okay. Well, now you're ready. Now you're ready.
I can circle back to that first M.
Circle back. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to us. And we really want this to be a continued conversation. And if you have ideas of things you love to hear us talk about, if you have input on anything that we have shared, any clarification, if you happen to be someone with a lot of knowledge in one of these areas, or have some sort of experience and would like to share what you know with us, please send us an email, message us on Instagram. In the show notes, you can find the connection through Taylor or myself through Instagram. You can email me at hello@bonnieweeks.com, and we would love to hear from you. And you're also free to welcome us. I sat at the knob.
Yes, I sat. I just want one person. Message me on Instagram, comment on a photo. I don't know. Just, I sat on the knob.
Yes. I'm so excited for this.
Bonnie and I alone in this moment.
I'm so turned on right now.
Also, I feel like our parents are probably like, if you lived in that same house, they're like, I'm never touching that knob again.
I know.
It's okay.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Okay.
We'll
see you all soon. Yes, we will see you all soon. We'll talk to you soon. We can't see you. We're podcasting. And thank you. Thank you for being here.
Much. Yes, thank you for being here. And we'll talk to you soon.
Mwah.
Mwah.
Thank you so much for getting your sexy on with me today. Hearing what you loved, what you learned, or what you're going to share with your lover makes me so damn happy. You can jump on my weekly Sexy Sunday email. You can find that link in the show notes and we can connect through there. And it would super turn me on if you left a rating and review about how much this podcast is giving you life. Until next time. Mwah.